The first case this morning is United States v. Caprillo Esparza. Gown?
May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Andrew McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Caprillo Esparza. Mr. Caprillo Esparza appeals his sentence because the district court did not address his primary argument in mitigation, that his sentence in this case would not begin until he had served approximately a year in a state court. This is a very common argument. The government is simply incorrect when it says that this argument has no legal merit. It's such a meritorious argument that it exists in the guidelines under 5G1.3 in various mutations. Nevertheless, defense counsel did not raise it under 5G1.3, but it's such a straightforward argument that the way he raised it under the 3553A factors should be sufficient to allow the district court to give a lower sentence. He did it both in his written pleading and at sentencing orally. He provided the facts for the court, and in fact the government has relied in almost entirely on the district court's reviewing those facts. As a result, the argument was sufficiently before the court to give a lower sentence. The government is also incorrect that the district court implicitly considered the argument sufficiently by confirming the details, simply because the district court was aware of the facts of the case does not mean that the district court considered this as an argument for a lower sentence. In fact, the judge in the Cunningham case that I'm relying primarily on certainly understood the facts of the case. It was a long hearing. Defense counsel presented the arguments very thoroughly. The problem in the case was that the judge didn't mention it in his arguments or the sentence that the judge was imposing. And for those reasons, this court has consistently found that if the judge didn't address a meritorious argument, that should be reversed for the judge to consider that meritorious argument. And along those lines, I'd like to address briefly the government's 28J letter that the government provided yesterday to the court. The government cites Villegas-Miranda, which is a different case in one way, but a very similar case in another way. In that case, the defendant had already served the underlying state sentence, but during the federal sentencing, argued that the government delayed the case so that he wouldn't be able to make a concurrent sentence argument. My reading of the case, which was done this morning, does not show that the defendant made the argument under 5G1.3. However, the defendant did argue the concurrent sentence argument, did say that had he been sentenced earlier, he would have been able to been sentenced to a concurrent sentence if the judge had so decided.
So it was the delay in sentencing that was issue there as opposed to the
well, actually, the issue
problem?
The issue became whether the judge could have given that lower sentence based on the fact that the concurrent sentence wasn't possible. So in that case, this court said, yes, the district court could have given a lower sentence based on the fact that the possibility for the concurrent sentence had ended. And that's a new case for this court in that particular context. In this context, what makes it similar is what we're asking for is the district court not give a concurrent sentence. That's not what defense counsel asked for. He asked for a lower sentence. But this is one of the points of 5G1.3. It's a guideline, but it doesn't change the guidelines. All it does, if the judge gives a concurrent sentence, is lower the total amount of time that the defendant has to serve. And so in that sense, it's very similar to this case because that's what he asked for, a lower sentence based on the fact that he's also doing a year in the state court.
If he addresses it by saying, well, he's going to serve consecutive, then that would be enough. That would be addressing it, wouldn't it?
If the judge had said that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, the judge could certainly reject this
argument.
Just that the record doesn't reflect that the judge considered it or otherwise would have given the same sentence. And in this case, the sentence was 90 months. The top of the guidelines was 96 months. So it's possible that the judge, based on my reading of the record, could have given a lower sentence based on this consideration. Unless there are any other questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Gowan.
May it please the Court, good morning. My name is Karina Salavara, and I'm an assistant U.S. attorney here in the Northern District of Illinois and appear on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, we're in agreement that the argument was raised before Judge Manning with respect to whether or not the defendant should, well, we're in agreement that the argument, the point was raised before the district court judge that the defendant had approximately 1 year left to serve on a state sentence, and that it was raised by the defendant as a matter to be considered as a 3553A sentencing factor. We are in disagreement. We believe that the court did consider that argument, although we acknowledge she did not explicitly say that in imposing a sentence. But we're confident from the record, and submit the court should be confident from the record, that she did consider the argument. And the evidence in the record is that there was a colloquy immediately after defense counsel raised the issue at sentencing with respect to the defendant's criminal history and the sentences he was then serving. The court is aware from the briefs that he was then serving three sentences that had been ordered to run concurrently by a state court judge. The three sentences related to three different criminal episodes separated by time, place, and indeed nature, and related to forgery on one occasion, related to driving under the influence on another occasion, and related to residential burglary on yet a third occasion. And the district court judge at the sentencing, when this matter was raised, made inquiry of defense counsel, who then conferred with the defendant and provided information to the court. Not only did they provide information in response to her questionings, Your Honors, but you'll note from the transcript that she continued to ask about the other offenses. The transcript shows the defendant and defense counsel initially acknowledged she was serving a sentence for forgery. But the district court persisted and asked, and there's also one for a DUI. There was a conference between counsel and defendant, and then they acknowledged, yes, it was also DUI. Then she asked another question, and yes, we acknowledge it's also for burglary. So the court clearly considered the fact that the defendant did have a pending state sentence, undischarged for a period, of approximately a year. Now, at the time she imposed sentence, she did not say, I reject your request for a lower sentence, a sentence below the advisory guideline range, because he's got another year to serve. Instead, Your Honors, what she said, again with considerable detail, she rehearsed the facts of those three convictions, or the facts underlying the three convictions, and then said, I am concerned, given the defendant's propensity for violence, that the public needs to be protected from him. And then she went on and imposed a sentence within the advisory guideline range. I submit, Your Honors, on this record, you can be confident that she did consider the argument relating to the fact that as a 3553A factor, she could consider the fact that he had 1 year remaining on his state sentence. She implicitly considered it, and again, you can be confident of that because of the colloquy, and then she rejected it, basically taking the other view that it was not a reason to provide for a lower sentence, but in fact was a reason to provide a sentence within the guideline range. There is no need to remand this for the district court to make that explicit. You can be confident on this record that she did take that into consideration in imposing and in determining to impose a sentence within the advisory guideline range. Another way to think about this, Your Honors, would be, do you need to remand it for that determination? And I submit you do not for a separate reason, and that is that this is a discretionary matter for the district court judge. Defense counsel acknowledges that under the guidelines, both 3553A factors and indeed the use of guideline section 5G1.3 is a matter of discretion for the district court judge. And in this instance, again from the record, you can be sure that she exercised her discretion, taking into consideration these various factors. Again, we acknowledge she did not say explicitly, I have determined that rather than favoring a lower sentence, the defendant's criminal history, including his undischarged sentences, argue for an advisory guideline range. But I submit that's a fair reading of the record and is sufficient for this court to determine to affirm the judgment of the district court and return the case, or not return the case, affirm the judgment of the district court on this record.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel?
Your Honors, I just wanted to briefly point out that the district court did mention all the facts, and in fact, in the written order that was attached to judgment, added those facts to it about his background and the criminal cases that he was serving a sentence for. But I would submit that when you read these, you will see that they were only in the context of his criminal history and his background, not in terms of this argument for a lower sentence because he's serving a sentence. And I would also simply say for the record that all Cunningham remands are of a discretionary matter. That's every case that this court's remanded. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.